Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Genesis, and like last week, it is part of the narratives of Jacob from the book of Genesis. Jacob at this point has fled from home to his uncle Laban's house, and among other things, has fallen in love. And we take up the narrative. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah in the tent. And Jacob said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Didn't I serve with you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading today is a portion of the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus has been sharing parables about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all of this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Given a choice, Most of us, I'm sure, would prefer a what you see is what you get kind of life and world. We want to look at the world and know what to expect and what is to be asked of us. We ask a question, we want a straight answer. We want to know that if we work hard and do the right thing, that we will get what we expect and what we think we deserve. That does sound like a great way for life to go. Unfortunately, life does not always go that way. So what do we do when we are surprised by the unexpected or devastated by the unwanted? What happens when what we loved and worked for suddenly isn't ours and it's going to take more work and more labor to get it? I suspect a number of people have been feeling that way since March of this year. And when the unexpected has shown up for all of us as a pandemic with all its attendant challenges, and all of a sudden more and different kind of labor is needed for us to get out of life what we had been hoping for. A fellow minister on a Zoom chat meeting recently gave a great metaphor. Thinking of the fatigue of ministers in this case, in these days, he said the exhaustion was because we didn't know we were actually in a triathlon. It's like we got to the end of the run, we thought we were finished, someone handed us a bicycle, and when that was done, someone else said, "Now you have to go swim." In 2020, has seemed like one thing stacked up on the other. I'm sure there are people all through this country feeling like so much is breaking, routines, systems, the economy, our culture, our understandings, and we don't know how yet to put it all back together. And as important as some of these things are to deal with, everybody hits a point when they just want to rest for a little while. They aren't quite ready to labor more, even for what they love. Now, most of us have already lived long enough to know that despite our desires and our hopes, our planning and hard work, we don't always get what we want. The good and the bad fish are together in the net. The dirt and the treasure in the field are never far from each other. And what you see is not always what you get. Look what happened to Jacob as we read his narrative today. He chose Rachel but ended up with Leah. Now, I don't think that actually has happened to too many of us in terms of wives, but I suspect something similar has happened to us. There have been times in our life when we chose or worked for one thing and ended up getting something else out of it. And haven't there been times in your life when things seemingly changed overnight? Your life had been one thing, now it's another. And you didn't choose it. It's not just something Jacob went through. It works its way through life. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven works differently than we expect at times. Sometimes real life, kingdom life with God is like a net dragged through the sea that when it is full pulls up the good and the bad together. And the fishermen have to deal with it. Other times, life can be like a field. We see day after day, the field is always there. It's like any other field, except that it is not, for somewhere deep within that ordinary dirt is an unseen treasure waiting to be discovered. And that's when we have to make a decision about our faith and how or even whether we will move forward? Do we trust that there is more happening in life than we can always see or even understand? Can we look at a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, and see that it contained within it the greatest of shrubs, a tree where even big enough that birds could nest and take shelter? Will we persevere in searching the marketplaces of our lives for that pearl of great value that is out there waiting to be found? Or is our faith limited to what we see here and now, what can be verified by facts and logic, what has been the pattern of the past, what fits our desires and our expectations? Is what we see now all there is or ever will be? And if that's the case, is that really satisfying? That's where Jacob is today. Last week, I mentioned how Jacob bought his older brother's inheritance for a cup of soup. Then he and his mother Rebekah deceived Isaac, Jacob's father, Rebekah's husband, into giving Jacob the blessing that rightfully belonged to the older brother Esau. Esau was angry. Jacob ran for his life to Laban, Rebekah's brother. He came to a well, and Laban's younger daughter, Rebekah shows up. She is beautiful and graceful. Jacob kisses her at the well. Jacob loves her. Then he and Laban have a deal. Jacob will work for 7 years to get this beautiful young lady. And at the end of 7 years, Laban prepares a great wedding feast. All is going as expected. After the wedding, Jacob goes in to meet the new bride in the tent that to consummate the marriage. And when morning came, he realized it was Leah who was with him. Laban had done a little bait and switch on this wedding night. He would not allow the younger daughter to supplant Leah as Jacob had supplanted Esau. There's a little bit of poetic justice here as Jacob finds himself deceived and trapped. And if I was Jacob, I'd be wondering about the night at Bethel with the dream of the ladder going up to heaven, God's promise to be with him and stay with him and make sure things work out well. Leah, though, is not who Jacob chose, expected, or wanted when he wakes up after the wedding night, and I'm sure to him that did not sound like a fulfillment of God's promise. It sounds more like the beginning of an ancient soap opera. What you see is not always what you get. Like women mixing yeast in 3 measures of flour, God is always somehow mixed in to the stories of our lives, regardless of what those stories are or how they came about. You can't see the yeast of God or separate it out, but it is there working, leavening, and transforming the flour of our lives into something new and something alive, something that feeds our hunger and nourishes our life. Even when we choose one daughter and get the other, the yeast of God's life, the yeast of God's love, the yeast of God's presence, the yeast of God's healing, all are working within us to transform and make our lives new. The leavening power of Christ's life is present and active in the life of all believers. It's present and active in the life of this church in these challenging and transition times. It makes a difference. It makes no difference whether we always see it or understand it or believe it. It is there. The leavening power of God within us can do more than we can ask or imagine, because what we see is not all that we get through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this that gives Jacob the strength to continuing his labors of love for the younger daughter. This is what gives us the strength to continue our labors of love and the service to our Lord despite these challenging times. The newsletter that went out last week detailing what's been accomplished this past year in the life of this church is a list of how people are keeping up with love's labors. Do Jesus' descriptions of the kingdom of heaven help us in this time that we must labor on for what we love? He said it was like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like yeast. The kingdom is a treasure hidden in the field. The kingdom is a net thrown into the sea. And if you think about it, mustard seeds have to get planted and tended. Yeast has to be added to other ingredients. There is kneading of the dough and waiting. Treasure must be dug up, unearthed, and recognized for its value. Nets must be cast repeatedly, hauling up over and over again the contents ready for being sorted. The good, life-giving end of the kingdom does not come always without energy, patience, and days of mixed results. We put our labors into it, and the church faces the need for both work and patience with the pace of a return to a new normal these days, for creativity in adapting to change and adopting new ways of seeking and proclaiming the kingdom all at the same time. Scripture tells us all things will work together for good. This is God's ultimate doing. But we are gifted with the ability and responsibility to participate in that good's emergence into this world. Labors of love are still needed. Amen.